DeclaringTheKingdom.com. The kingdom of God is at hand. Blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord and keep it. This is Trevor Davis, declaring the kingdom of God. Today is December 21st, 2018. Over the years, as I've shared the word of God and urged people to evaluate their life before God, to make sure they're truly in the faith and not allow themselves to be deceived, either by themselves or by others, and to make sure they are bona fide in an actual real way, a disciple of Jesus Christ, with Jesus himself being the true vine, and we are as branches abiding to that true vine, Jesus. Are we in Christ? Are we abiding with him? Are we allowing the divine nature to flow through our life? Are we being led by the Spirit of God, or are we walking in the flesh? Are we walking in faith? Are we doing the will of God? Are we holy people, sanctified by God through his Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by God the Father himself? This is how we're sanctified. And I urge people this because there's many people, what Jesus said, many people will be on the outside of the door when the time comes and the master of the house rises up and shuts to the door. And Jesus says, you find yourself on the other side in darkness, knocking. Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will profess unto them, I do not know you. He will profess, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that is a tragic thing. And these are religious people, which is so shocking. So we're going to go through some text today and talk about why, what's going on here? Why would people be deceived to think that they would be with the Lord and not shut out for eternity? But Matthew 7 and in Luke 13 talks about this. Paul was writing in the 2 Thessalonians about the mystery of iniquity does already work. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:7. There's three words here: mystery, iniquity, and work. Paul was writing regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. He was addressing that before that day comes, there would come a falling away and the man of sin revealed, the son of destruction. Now, meantime, as time goes by, one day after another, the fulfillment of these things will come. But we can certainly recognize right now, today, there is a falling away. There is an apostasy right now, real. It's evident. It's throughout institutionalized religion of churches. I'm speaking of the church world. The Bible has identified builders that build religion. They oppose Jesus' teaching. They create brands of churches, franchise them, denominate them, and license them with the secular government. 501c3, it's tax status with the IRS in the United States. They call themselves titles, though Jesus said not to do that. They become employees of their work. They're hirelings. They teach false doctrine. They teach customs that God forbids. They censor the voice of the Lord. The Lord would speak to his people. They use theatrics to entertain the masses. They encourage worldliness and strengthen the people while they are in sin, just like days of old. I was reading this morning about the money changers. I'm going to read that to you. This in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story is told us about Jesus going into the temple. It says this, Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Okay? And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You have sellers, you have buyers. It's a big business. And Jesus confronted them right to their face. And you can believe that Jesus made a lot of enemies that day. He has a lot of enemies today, ladies and gentlemen, because they're doing the same identical thing. Jesus warned of this. Paul warned of this. Peter warned of this, that they'll make merchandise of not only the things of God, but the people. And for there to be sellers, there has to be buyers. And the sellers are just giving the people what they want. The same is true today. They band together and join hand in hand in their iniquity. They also merge themselves in councils, such as the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches. They are ecumenical. They're universalists, globalists. And there are many exalted master teachers today in the church world that are globalists. One such example, and it's only one, is Rick Warren. Rick Warren in 2008 went to Davos, Switzerland at a meeting with the globalists. And he confesses, it's right there on YouTube, you can do a search, that he was with his friends and he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. In fact, he wrote a global peace plan. It's amazing how they contradict scripture. See, all of this is part of the snare that Jesus talked about the last days. Jesus said in Luke, take heed that your heart be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them on the face of the whole earth. You see where this is going, ladies and gentlemen? A snare is being set right now. It's a snare of deception, deceit, and fraud, and people that are literally stealing your life and deceiving you with full of lies. They hate God. They hate Jesus. They hate people. They're wolves, and often they wear sheep's clothing. They can transform themselves like Satan can appear as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul outlines this. And there's deceitful workers, false apostles. And they transform themselves as a servant of Christ. You've got to be discerning. You cannot believe every spirit. You have to try the spirits to see whether they're of God. You have to note the doctrine. Is it of God? Is it coming from God? This is why we want to be taught by the Lord, because the Word of God is absolutely pure. There's no leaven in what Jesus would teach you through the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. This is a snare of deceit and deception. And God is going to allow people to believe the lie, because why? He called, they wouldn't hear. He spoke, they wouldn't listen. So God said he would choose their delusions. And Paul, in this 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he said there will be delusions. God will send strong delusion because people did not love the truth. They can take it or leave it. And people have sat under the influence of TVs and movies and education and false churches, false gospels, false spirits, even fake Jesuses. And it affects you. Just like when Babylon, the harlot, the whore, the whole abominations of the whole earth, gives a cup of her fornication for the world to drink. It's worldwide. All the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this power, this entity, this spiritual entity of Babylon. And they're drunk. Well, a drunk person is beyond reason. They're driven by their lusts and passions beyond logic. What the Lord is saying is, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I would encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. We're talking about people that are going to be shocked. They thought they were in relationship with Jesus, but he doesn't even know them. Jesus made it certain that there would be many who would be shut out of the kingdom of God when he, as the master, rises and shuts to the door. These refused people are religious people, having prophesied, cast out demons, and did other many mighty works in Jesus' name. They'll be knocking on the outside of the door in darkness. And Jesus said there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Why? Why? Jesus professes unto them, I do not know you. Matthew 7:27. I do not know whence you come. I don't know your origin. That's Luke 13:27. He also said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Matthew 7:27. And depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Luke 13:27. In these two texts above that I just quoted, Matthew and in Luke, Jesus is addressing why many certain religious people are refused by him. He doesn't know them. He doesn't know where their origin. They're not born again. They're not wrought in God. There's no life of Christ. They're not branches abiding in the true vine. There's no fruit of God. There's no fruit of the Spirit. They work iniquity. That's what dead works are. It's sin in Matthew's text, and the iniquity of wickedness or unrighteousness in Luke. The aspect of Jesus' proclamation that is so vital to understand is the word work, work of iniquity. The word means in the original Greek to produce, to do, trade, as in business, earn by working, work or perform. This is a dynamic word of action, and its nature is sin. In Luke, the dynamic word of workers means in the Greek laborer, a worker, as in a field, a tiller, a perpetrator. All of this is showing that these people are fostering iniquity, unrighteousness. It's death. It's carnal. It's worldly. It's deep-seated hatred, enmity against God. And this word iniquity has the meaning of unrighteousness, wrong, and unjust. Get the picture? In the scriptures, we find that there's a God working within you. God's working. The Word of God teaches us that God works in us by His Holy Spirit abundantly and mightily. Ephesians 3:20, Philippians 2:13, Colossians 1:29 are good examples. Fruit is the evidence and the indicator. Is it good fruit? Is it fruit of the Spirit? Or is it bad fruit? So we have God working and we have Satan working within. But then there are those who God is not working in at all. They are imposters misrepresenting the Lord and his kingdom. They do not demonstrate his righteousness. They do not demonstrate his power or his glory. It's just natural, a put on a facade. It's pseudos. It appears to be godly, but it's not. It denies godliness. A lot of people know about God, but they don't know him. A lot of people talk about God. They use his word, but there's no power. There's no witness of the Spirit. And it's essential that you recognize these things. Go to the Lord and let him teach you, show you, rely on him completely. Follow him. Jesus is the light of the world. You won't walk in darkness. I'll give you an example. Trees. I encourage you, go to a nursery, walk up and down the aisles of the various fruit trees, and see if you can determine which tree you're looking at without looking at the label. Okay? You may see apple trees, orange trees, lemon trees, or even fig trees. But fruit trees bear fruit, obviously. This is the simple way the Lord Jesus teaches those with ears to hear and to understand, and those with eyes that can see to perceive. The wise and prudent, self-willed people have these things hidden from them as God shuts their eyes. That's in Matthew 11, 25 and Luke 10, 21. Read Isaiah 29, 10 through 13, and you'll see how it was with Israel. How God, the seers and the prophets and the rulers, God shut their eyes and gave them blindness. You say, what? Yeah, the leaders did not have the revelation of Scripture because God shut their eyes. And why did he do that? Because of hypocrisy. And this is what Jesus confronted in the religious system. They go through these motions. They use the Scripture. They have some elements of format that may be authentically true, but it's absolutely corrupt within. They don't have the love of God. They don't have the mercy. They don't have his judgment. And they actually have false doctrines, traditions of the elders that actually makes void the word of God, makes it of no authority because they're keeping man's word rather than God's word. There's a bundled mix, a mixture today. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, we are told of six things to avoid in our relationships as the righteous by faith. Six things. One, those of no faith, unbelievers. You can't, as a person that believes and has faith, be associating with no faith. And that's not just non-believers in Jesus. It's those that profess to believe in him, but they deny him by their words, by the way they live. You don't see any indication of faith. Faith is fruit of the Spirit. The second thing is unrighteousness. This is that word wicked, iniquity. Workers of iniquity. It's spoken in Luke 13, 27. The third thing is darkness. Light doesn't have fellowship with darkness. Darkness of any kind, immorality, false doctrine, wicked customs, idolatry, worldliness, foolish talk, and on and on. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's the absence of Jesus. The next thing, the fourth thing, is the word Belial, or it means wicked, which is the meaning of wicked, anything of Satan. Five is an infidel. Again, we're back to faith, an unbeliever, a non-believer, a no-faither. Anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. 1 John 2:22. Take a look at that text, that word, Antichrist. It's used repeatedly, those that deny Jesus. Anyone that's not of faith, look out. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Do you have the fruit of faith? Show me your faith, James says. Lastly, the sixth thing is temples of idols. The context of this scripture is the body of a believer in Jesus is the dwelling place of God. God lives and inhabits within a believer's physical body. It belongs to him. That's why we're to honor God with our body and with our spirit, because they belong to God. Our soul is ours, but our body and our spirit belong to God. We are not to join our body with another person who is an unbeliever or an idolater or one that is of Satan, the prince of darkness. So you look today what's going on in the church world. When the agenda is to have massive crowds, mega church they call it, mega church. The more people, the better. They've written books and have programs. How not to offend and how to give a palatable gospel, a worldly carnal thing. And they will not teach the difference between the holy and the profane, between clean and unclean. What's the point of having a giant crowd of people that are never walking, denying themselves, picking up their cross daily and following Jesus? It's just a waste. But it's not to the money changers. It's not to the sellers. And they're giving a service to the buyers. That's how this system works, ladies and gentlemen. And you're associating your fellowshipping with these crowds of unbelievers, the people that are in this depths of sin and iniquity, working iniquity. And the Lord is calling his people out not to be defiled by this. One of the things I've noted is how repentance is not promoted anymore, generally and largely. Repentance from dead works is written in Hebrews 6:1. The author of Hebrews speaks of moving forward from the doctrine of Christ unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We recall that John the Baptist to Jesus, the apostles and ministries of Christ, all preached repentance. They said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The prophets since the beginning of time called for repentance when needed. The false prophets never called for repentance, just as the false ministers today do not call for repentance. Repentance is needed in order to have faith. Without repentance, there can be no faith. But we have lots of religion without repentance. Hence, we have lots of religion without faith. It is dead works. Let him that hears understand. What are dead works? Well, they are worthless, vain works. They can be anything that's not wrought in God. God is alive. He is the God of the living. He speaks. His people hear. Faith comes by hearing. Then they obey. These are the exact opposite of dead works. Dead works are those things that are not of faith, but they're natural and unregenerate. They are not of faith, which makes it sin. Doing dead works that are not of faith makes one a worker of iniquity. I thank God that you're seeing the picture. First comes repentance from dead works, then comes faith towards God. Faith towards God is what comes after repenting of not having faith, but living even though you're really dead, spiritually speaking. All this is of Cain, who was of the evil one, it's written. Faith towards God is the true Sabbath. It is a rest from our own works. It's not a day of the week. It's a lifestyle, daily, of resting from our own independent moving about outside of God's leading. You'd see Jesus always did what was pleasing to his Father, always waited upon the Father and acted according to what he saw and heard from his Father. And that's our example, to walk in his steps, to endure suffering and reproach and gazing stock. The ones that are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the ones that are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God. You see how simple this is? We see so much done in the earth in the name of Jesus, but it is not wrought in him. It is dead working. It's the mystery of iniquity working. It's strange fire. In name only they build, but they deny him by their words and their deeds. They are the builders that reject the cornerstone that's elect and precious. We're speaking of Jesus. And they have substitute Christ as the masters of their works. They come in different names of men, men's names. The building they do is disobedient to the word. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8 outlines this. They worship and serve the works of their own hands, building enterprises, great structures, great institutions. They build and build and enslave the slaves of their own dead works. They are the church of the dead, the tares mingled within the wheat, the very seed of Satan. Examine yourself. As I said when we began this, are you in the faith? 2 Corinthians 13:5. It's a wise thing to do. Take a look. What fruit do you bear? Be honest. Jesus is. He'll tell you the truth. Ask him. Make your assessment and address the truth of your condition. Allow the Lord to transform you. We start by coming to the Lord, laying down our own life, picking up our cross, and following Jesus daily. He walks the straight and narrow way to life. He is that way. He is that life. And He certainly, surely is that truth. So walk with Him. Matthew 16:21, Luke 9:23. Put away the flesh. Crucify it. Look at Paul in his proclamation in Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. Yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, is Christ who lives in me. And now I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. As we behold the Lord is that Spirit. We're called to be in a spirit of liberty and glory. And as we behold Him, we're changed into the self-same image. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. And as simple as looking at fruit trees to determine what tree they are, is there fruit of the Spirit in your life? Not religious pseudo-fruit, like plastic grapes or apples, but real fruit of faith. And God looks for His only begotten Son to be in you. Christ Jesus to be your life. We're dead. We've been buried with Him. But as He rose from the dead by the glory of God the Father, by His Spirit, even so shall we walk in newness of life. He's alive evermore. And God's not looking for plastic fruit that's artificial and man-made. Are you hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord? Are you suffering and enduring persecution for righteousness, for His name's sake? Are you mocked for following Jesus? For being salt of the earth? Or have you lost your savor? Become worthless to the Lord. He says, other than to be thrown out, and men will trample you underfoot. If you're not suffering these things and going through these things as every true disciple does and has, you cannot be of the faith. It's better to find out now than with all those other deluded people that Jesus never knew, the workers of lawlessness, those who labored producing wickedness. It's important to realize that if it's not God's working in you and manifesting in your life, His power, then it must be Satan's working. Hard reality, but it's true. I've given you a lot to think about and consider before the Lord. But go to Him, lay down your life, totally surrender, repent of dead works, working iniquity. Be a garden to the Lord where His word takes root in your heart. It's time to break up your fallow ground, the hardness of the heart. Break it up. Circumcise your heart back to the Lord, as in Jeremiah. And don't sow among the tares and the thorns, but let your heart be plowed up before the Lord, that His word would bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, for the glory of God. That you endure to the end, that you not be deceived, that you not stand with the wicked out in outer darkness, shut out of this amazing, glorious kingdom of God, full of power and glory and His presence.